But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Got Brennan Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. Joined here once again by Michael Burlew.
What's up?
The Burls, as he likes to refer to himself. And
I did not make up that nickname. People gave it to me.
Yeah, okay. That's what everyone says with the nickname.
I've been pushing it. You know, if that career goes up, you know, that's a little merchandising money, you know?
TheBurls.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to, you know, copyright TheBurls, TheBurls. The Burls that ends in a Z, you know, stuff right. Like that, you know.
For all our eclectic audience, you know.
Mm-hmm, of course.
You got your S's, your Z's.
Yeah, I don't want some guy selling, you know, bootleg T-shirts outside of my... when I'm selling out MSG, it's like, yo, man, don't be taking my money.
Free Burl shirt, B-E-R.
Damn you! I forgot that one.
But yes, we are sitting here. It's Monday Night Football. We've kind of had a little 3 weeks in a row. Three weeks in a row. We've been kind of getting together and writing and bullshitting during Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And
Speaking about bullshitting, my Redskins.
Yeah. If you beat me to it, I said this was the topic I was going to open with because you are we're watching the Redskins Seahawks, so this will probably come out next week. So we're watching Redskins Seahawks, and Burlew happens to be a humongous Redskin fan.
Die hard.
And we might as well say Redskin as much as we can now before it's...
I still have my 1991 Super Bowl champion shirt
on. He is wearing a 1991 shirt. Yeah.
This was a woman, it wouldn't be statutory. That's how long it's been since we had that title.
Is that shirt actually from 91?
Yeah, the...
Wow, it's got some long-lasting
fabric
in there.
Well, I guess it could have been worse and all before the Phillies won in 2008. The last one was 1980, and I was four then, so I didn't keep that shirt around.
Well, I mean, 91 shirt's not too bad, I guess. You know, only
23 years.
I got two
holding the faith.
I got two Giants ones that aren't that old.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we might as well call them the Redskins while we still are, which is absolutely ridiculous that's even a real topic. What are your feelings towards the whole ridiculous name change?
I mean, my take on it is if it's such an issue to the Native American people, and if it is, okay, there shouldn't be a single Redskins game where they're not outside picketing. There shouldn't be a single Redskins practice when they're not out there picketing.
Right.
There would be no minute of time where there hasn't people out there saying, I am outraged, this name has to go. But it always seems to be, for lack of a better term, Caucasian liberals. And I'm...
White guilt.
Yeah, I don't want to say liberal, but I mean, I guess my point, it just seems like, oh, they must be so offended. And I heard a couple people are offended.
Right.
I never seen a Native American on CNN or any of them going, yeah, I'm the one who's saying this is an outrage. You know, it's always cute blonde reporter.
Listen, the reason they're not picketing the practices, the Redskins practice early, and it's hard to pick yourself
mm-hmm.
up out of a gutter drunk at that time.
Every time they try to get to practice, somebody throws some garbage on the road, and they have to start crying.
Yeah,
it's a sad thing.
The casinos are open late, man.
Those buffets go to like 2 a.m, man. So
you could hit one of those up in the middle of the night. It's glorious. But yeah, you know, you're right. It's you know, everyone needs to be offended now and then. That's the key word. Okay, I'm offended. Mm-hmm. I'm offended. Are you really? Does it affect your everyday life?
No.
That there's a team in Washington called the Redskins. Mm-hmm. Do you cry at Braves games or Cleveland Indians games? Mm-hmm.
Well, I always bring up the same thing when people like start screaming about the Redskins. Like just last Monday night, in fact, the Patriots played the Chiefs, and the Chiefs pulled off a big victory.
Yep.
As they're interviewing the Kansas City Chiefs players, everyone in the crowd is doing the tomahawk chop, yep. And they're going, "Oh, that's offensive, people."
You know what's also offensive? That every team associated with the Indian has to have the same damn chant.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with something else, man. The Seminoles, the Braves, the Indians, the Chiefs. Like, you can't vary it up.
The Redskins are the only original one. We have our own unique fight song.
Yeah. Don't you have a band, too?
Yeah, we have the Redskins band. When they built the new stadium, they specifically had to figure out a way to where to put the band. Unfortunately, we still suck so much we barely hear from them, so they're just wasted seats.
Yeah. The band has a shot of getting on the field.
They scored a touchdown tonight. They're like, what? Somebody Google the lyrics. It's been too long.
But yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine, like, in a year or two or whatever, like, Giants are playing the Washington, I don't know what the hell they would call
them. The biggest rumor was to call them the Red Tails. I think it was like one of the air controls nicknames. I forget what. I think it was like set like in World War II. So it's like, yeah, let's bring up that great memory. You know?
You know all the foxes out there are going to be offended?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sorry, terrible joke. I know. But,
it's, I mean... It, simply put, the only way it's going to happen is, like I said, it's got to be nonstop protests, and basically the NFL will have to go up to them and it's like, all right, I'm going to buy every ounce of Redskins merchandise you have in every one of your stores, and I'm going to pay for the copyright to your new name. That will be the only way it's going to happen.
And then all the kids in Africa will be wearing Redskins shirts.
Hey, yeah, help the crowd, you know?
But, yeah, do you think they'll change it?
Nowhere soon. Down the road, maybe we'll get enough push, but I'll give Daniel Snyder credit. And all. He could be buckling under pressure. I'm sure all of the people who have been pushing for people like FedEx who sponsored the stadium, hey, get away from the Redskins. He just sat back and said, this has been our name. It's been our name since 1939. I'm not going to get rid of it just because a couple people said, well... I just don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they should change it. I am so sick. Oh, like, who was it? Phil Sim? One of them's like, I won't say Redskins this year. Like, are you kidding me?
There's like 45 announcers that say, well, we're not going to use the Redskins name. It's like, and?
Yeah.
Well, like, okay. Oh, no.
Because you don't say worse in the closed doors of your own home.
Like, mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Like, I'm just sick of this society of... Everybody's offended, you know, like, it doesn't matter what happens. It's someone offended that it has nothing to do with the story, or they tell you how you should feel, and it just drives me crazy. And I know we mentioned it on, like, the other podcast, but it's just, like, things like, I don't know, like I brought up that Paula Deen case, or that, like, everyone's so offended. Like,
Riley Cooper.
They don't do anything wrong, and this isn't even something... wrong, really. I mean, it's a name of something. I mean, and I also feel like, were there complaints 30 years ago, 40 years ago?
No.
It's what, the last 10 years max, you know? Like, let's change the name. Let's change the name.
I understand culture is changing, and some people review some stuff and go, well, I'm not sure about that, but to the point where it's like your main goal. I mean, that's where it gets silly, because it just... It seems like a couple weeks ago, it got hot again, the whole Redskins name, then it died down, then it gets hot again, and it dies down. It's like
in between beatings by NFL players. Mm-hmm. You're like, let's throw this in there.
If you're offended, it's nonstop. And that's kind of my point about not stopping with the picketing and all that. If you're truly offended by it, you can't go a day without telling the Redskins and all, this is disgusting, get rid of it. It's not, oh, yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Yeah. Get rid of that name. I forgot.
I just think, you know, good for them for standing pat, because I think it's a fine line. Like, once you change that, what's next? Like, what are we going to change next? Or maybe we'll change the Giants because tall people are
offended. Yeah. We're both over 6 foot. Yeah. I mean, well,
I'm offended.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what's that, a 2-hour drive? We can go down there and picking them tomorrow.
You ever sit in an airplane seat?
Yeah.
It's
uncomfortable.
It's offensive.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. If you're over 6 foot, you should sit first class.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Right. And if you're under 4 foot, you should sit in the...
You should be in the luggage.
Dog crates in the back. You know, like, I don't know. It's just a fine line. I think once you change that, you're giving leeway to people. What can we complain about next? And we'll get it changed.
Once you get the statute in there, it doesn't stop.
And when it changes, then what? They won? Like, what do they get?
Yeah, I just don't really get... I mean, outside of, like, casino owners and all, there's still a lot of, like, Native American people living on the land, you know, some in poverty states and all. I mean, you think they're sitting around going, oh, good, that's done. My life is good.
I know.
Oh, hey, by the way, didn't you steal, like, an entire country of land from me?
Next is going to be like, let's call it the United States of America and Native America.
And Eskimos. Don't forget those Alaskans. They're going to get pissed, man. Scott, they're going to picket our show.
At some point, like, is there an X number of years where things just, you got to die? It's got to go away? Like, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing when you hear, like African-American people, like, still, you know, harping on slavery. At some point, maybe it's time to move on a little bit, like a couple hundred years, you know, 150 years in some cases. I mean, a lot of people are so far removed from it, it doesn't affect them anymore, and they're looking for, I don't know, reparations or whatever it is. And I don't know, it bothers me a little bit because I also feel like it holds people back. Like, a lot of people don't want to be associated with that anymore.
And a lot of,
you know, white people don't want to be... They had nothing to do with it, you know? Like, they're so out of that era of time.
Like, if they want to talk about stuff, they want to talk about, like, the 50s and 60s with the oppression that was going on there. Totally understood, because we still have people who were alive during that period to say, this is unfair. And there was a time where, like, there was no interracial marriage. And as we're going through today with, like, same-sex marriage, you know, I can understand being mad with oppression. Being mad for something that happened 200-some years ago, you could sit back and say that's a disgusting part of history.
Of course.
But to turn around and say, well, that was disgusting. By the way, you owe me something for it.
I know. You owe me because I'm 5, 6, 7, 8 generations away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I also think that kind of holds people down. It holds people in a place, and it gives them this anger that's not necessary. Like, and you're directing it towards people that don't have anything to do with it anymore.
The best thing you can do is just educate people about it, you know? That's the best thing. If you're going to tell people about, hey, what happened and all, and enlighten people, that's great. When you're telling stories and then turning around and say, now we got to do something about this, it's kind of like, well, you're missing the point.
Right. Until we get time machines, you know.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, once we get those, we go back and beat some slave owners' asses.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm switching around my Mazda so it opens up, you know, wide ways like a DeLorean. And I figure that's the first step. The flux capacitor will come after that.
Take some Brillo and sand off the paint, like make it stainless steel. You know.
I'm trying to work on that whole butterfly effect thing, see how that goes. Yeah. See if I can do it that way.
Enough beers. You'll do it, buddy. I don't know. All that kind of stuff bothers me. Like, let's change it. I was thinking about, okay, when we do, like, who's going to be happy? The Redskins fans? No.
No, it's just a futile point and all. I mean, we have bigger things to handle in this world, you know. There's diseases that should be taken care of. There's poverty. We have an entire city that's bankrupt in Detroit.
Yep.
And the big, but I can sit back and go, well, you know what? I love animals, so I'm offended that you have a lion as a mascot.
Right. You're portraying lions as these fighting, angry.
How dare you?
Yeah.
My great uncle was a cowardly lion, and I take great offense to what you're trying to.
I think your lion logo should look less fierce and more gentle.
Mm-hmm, exactly. They're a loving cat.
But yeah, we're in
the
age
feisty felines of Detroit City.
We're in an age where we got sleeper cells of terrorists lopping people our own guys' heads off.
Mm-hmm.
We got, you know, God forbid, Ebola. Which, what do you think about the whole Ebola thing? I don't know, man. I think this is the media's new favorite treat.
Yeah, it's. I don't see it as a huge threat as everybody says. I mean, if you read some of the articles, the way to obtain Ebola is pretty much touching waste products, blood, or something like that from a human being.
I might get it.
Oh, okay. Well, stay on that side of the couch, buddy boy. I got to make this podcast live on when you're gone, you know?
Verbal shenanigans of Michael Burrell.
Right? Whoa, whoa, the Burrells all copyrighted then, man, when I'm the star. But.
That's it.
But, and I understand the fear of it and all, but it's going to be one of those. It's kind of like SARS from a few years back, if you remember that.
SARS. It's like Y2K. It's, I don't know, you name it, bird flu.
Non-organic food.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think the media is just running with it. I mean, I see articles like, oh, kid feels sick at college, may have Ebola. Yeah. I'm like, come on. Half the country never heard of Ebola.
Nope.
And it's like, you know what? If they were feeling symptoms and blah, 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 and sick, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, maybe you have it, then you could be concerned. But to walk around like, what are you going to start wearing those doctor's masks like it's freaking China?
Well, let's see. We have, what, a quarter of a billion people in the United States, and there's, what, three cases? Yeah. I like our chances so far.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're in the lead.
I don't know. Yep. To me, I see that, and I just think, oh, that's the media's new toy for the next month or so, and then it'll just go away.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure there's going to be cases going on in Africa, and I'm sure we're going to hear a couple here and there in, like, Asia or stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, until we see pockets of this, it's not going to happen. And the way it's contracted, I can't fathom it going anywhere to a point where it's like, oh, my God, I got to be having, like, 6 months worth of canned foods in my garage and not leaving the house.
Yeah. Maybe that's The Walking Dead, man. Maybe we're coming up on that.
That'd be great, man. I mean, I always find it fun. I love the show. I always love how everybody's like, oh, man, I would survive a zombie apocalypse. And it's like, you do realize it's an apocalypse because 90% of us is dead, right?
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, you won't get that spider that's in the corner of your kitchen, but you're going to kill a bunch of zombies. Okay.
Right.
I like your chances, you know.
You know what's funny? The other day I was talking to my friend. We went to a bachelor party and
there were zombies there?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
But, well, we were at night, the nine of us, after about 19 adult beverages, there was definitely zombies in Philadelphia that night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were cured the next morning, sort of, but.
Shaun of the Dead. All right. There's a happy ending to this.
But we went to a shooting range. It was in Woodland Park, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first off, the nine of us, out of all of us, like, two people have shotguns. I was one of them, and I haven't shot a gun since I was in Boy Scouts when I was, like, 15, shot a rifle and a shotgun.
Hmm.
And the other kid has been to the range a few times. So we get there for the bachelor party, and you're able to choose four guns, anything you want. So we choose an AK-47.
Wow.
It was like a old bolt action rifle, like one of the Russian big long ones, which was really cool.
Okay.
We chose a pistol and a double barreled shotgun.
Nice.
Now, the fact that we could take these out and go into the range, no class, no like here's how you do it. Here's safety measures, blah, 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 blah. Basically, the guy comes up to us and is like, always point the gun downrange. And if you have any questions, let me know. You know, like.
Well, you were wearing your goggles, right?
Right.
That's the most important thing. Yeah.
So I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know, if somebody comes in who's had a terrible day, they just fought with their wife or lost their job, they could literally just turn around and blow the room away. Like, it's crazy. And then we chipped. It was $50 to rent the Desert Eagle, but there was 9 or 10 of us, so we each chipped in $5 to fire it at the end. And it's just ridiculous that I was able to fire all these weapons, man. And, like, I don't know, man. It really blew my mind. How did I get on that again?
We were talking about zombies. Then we talked about your bachelor party,
yes.
And then we started shooting guns.
What we were saying, going to the gun range made me realize how unrealistic, like, these TV shows and movies are. Guys running with guns or having two guns in their hand. Because I'm sitting there with a pistol and I'm aiming at the target's head and it's like hitting him in the hip and like missing. I'm like, oh my God.
Did you turn it to the side? That's the key. That makes you look cool and you hit the target better.
I was thinking, you know, like we could do like a gangster gun range where there's like a drive-by room. Where, like,
nice. Have a drive-through. That'd be awesome. It'd be so much more convenient to shoot a gun that way.
Yeah.
What's wrong, government? Get this happening.
But like, it was terrible. But actually, they did have the targets on the back of them. There was a zombie one that you could shoot at. Like,
okay.
That was pretty cool.
Nice.
Cool. America's obsessed with zombies.
It's quite a phenomena how it occurred. I mean, it just Walking Dead, that was a graphic novel, right, which they made to a TV series.
Even before that, the zombie, like, obsession was
built. All started with George Romero, Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
A fantastic film. He actually hates The Walking Dead. He's literally said that it doesn't share his vision. Like, his vision when he does his zombie apocalypse movies is just... He feels that he's concentrating on the mankind and all. He's trying to send a message. Like on Dawn of the Dead, it was set in the malls, and he was trying to push a point of like materialism and marketing. How we're just obsessed with shopping and so forth. And that's more what he was trying to send with the message. And then when his third movie was about, like, war with, like, generals, how they were in, like, the bunker and how the military's taken over and stuff like that. He just feels The Walking Dead is a soap opera which has a couple of zombies in it, but I kind of disagree on that.
Jealousy there, maybe, too, or maybe he wants to be the only...
Well, his last, like, two films pretty much went direct to DVD and everybody canned them, so kind of like you said, I think he's just a little jealous with everybody.
Success.
And taking it over.
I think it's funny, though. There's like this whole zombie, everything zombie. It's almost like a couple years ago with the vampire shit.
The Twilight stuff.
Do you think next is a TV drama or a romantic?
They did one, Warm Bodies.
Well.
That one was done, and I saw that movie, and I was kind of pissed. I figured it was more on the, mocking stage and all of comedy, almost like mocking Twilight, but it was pretty much Twilight with zombies.
Wow, maybe zombie porn next.
I'm not gonna look, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's already out there.
You're not gonna
anything look. With the word porn at the end will be found.
You know, the first thing you do is go zombie porn. I'm surprised you're not typing it in now.
Turn your head. I don't want you to see this. Oh, you're finishing? Wait.
And when he finishes, snapped out of it. I'm cured. It's actually just a bunch of sexually repressed men.
I'm just thinking of like the original Night of the Living Dead, where like there's like 20 zombies and like coming to get like one human. Now I'm thinking about the zombie porn. Now I got a different vision in my head.
Right.
And good job, man.
And now you're thinking production, cost, lighting.
Do I put my name to Burles on this one?
Do I have a?
Is it worth it?
Where can I find an effects crew for this? You know, who do I know that does makeup?
Yeah. Oh man, that's wrong.
Zombie porn is wrong.
Yeah, that I draw the line. Right. Redskins, that's a totally non-offensive name. Right. Zombie porn.
Which about Redskins,
I'm offended, sir.
Slavery, shooting guns, and no zombie porn.
Yeah,
is over
that,
the line. I guess
you brought the show to the limit, man. I don't know if I can come back. You know.
Well, let's bring it back a little bit. First off, how you were talking before about how you became a Redskin fan, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, basically, I was, as everybody can tell by my lovely accent, everybody, just in case anybody's wondering, I'm not from the South. I am from Morrisville, Pennsylvania, which is about 20 minutes away from Philadelphia, PA. I was a big sports fan. I grew up everything Philly. I was a Sixers fan. I was a Flyers fan. I was a Phillies fan. And when I was watching football at a younger age, the league I was watching was called the United States Football League, which was what people might know was this small little league during the summer, which was known for Donald Trump trying to bring the league to the fall and try to sue the NFL, which they won, and they won a grand total of $3 from the NFL.
$3.
The courts basically said, you have proven that there's monopoly, but you did not prove that you had a financial loss because of this monopoly. So they got basically $3.24.
Nice.
Yeah, if you ever watched the 30 for 30 on the USFL.
It does sound familiar. It sounds like it was a 30-30.
Yeah.
30 for 30 films.
Yeah. So going back, I was a huge Philadelphia Stars fan, and I didn't really have much memories in the NFL. And the first game I can remember was when the Redskins played the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl in 82. John Riggins with that famous 44-yard run on 4th-and-1. And I just sat back and said, you know what? That's my team, and I stuck with it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is if I was an Eagles fan, I would have never seen a ring, and I've seen 3 of them.
There you go. Mm. And you have those beautiful men that cross-dress. And
the Hoggettes, yes.
Somehow that's not weird.
No. Why are you looking at me that way? I dress like this today. How dare you?
What I'm asking you is to please take the Hoggette outfit off of my house.
Now we got Hoggette porn, people. Come on.
Ooh, that's another good one. That's another good one. Sweet.
Yeah.
Do you know how the Hoggette started?
Yes. Basically, the Redskins offensive line. Joe Gibbs was the first person who sat back and said that the offensive line should be made up of bigger players. Like, the offensive line was basically made up of, like, just, like, tight ends who couldn't catch, you know, like 230, 240 in weight. So Joe Gibbs came up with the idea, I'm going to get some like 260, 270-pound guys, and I'm just going to push that defensive line down. So that's where they started dominating. They had the counter Trey, and they came up with the nickname the Hogs. Right. Now, what basically happened was there was some joke about, well, you know, we need like cheerleaders for our offensive line because it was such a big thing. So these guys who were season ticket holders basically said, yeah, let's do it. And they would put on like a snout, and they would just dress up and drag, and all, like comical drag, not like,
yeah.
Are you sure that's not a pre-op kind of drag? But
I think all drag is comical.
Yeah. And they were very big for years. They were they're actually in the Hall of Fame for as fans.
And is it still the same guys, or is this a bunch of people?
It was. I'm not sure if they still go to the games or not. I occasionally see them in the crowd, but I'm not sure if it's the same guys as the originals from the 80s.
What is it, like 4 or 5, 6?
About 5 or 6 of them, yeah.
So, you're a Philly sports guy, but mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about I was going to talk about the best sporting events you've ever been to. And I was also thinking about myself. Because one time I did this on a podcast, and the file got deleted.
Ooh.
But then I thought about it, and like, it's kind of good because they weren't the best sporting events I've ever been to. So
mm-hmm.
I would think like maybe we do like a top 3 like live sporting events you've ever been to.
Okay. Well, let me think about it. Like, one of them was a United States Football League game that I went to. It was the, I believe it was the Philadelphia Stars and the Jersey Generals. And we were in the old Franklin Field, not the vet, the right. Franklin Field. And what I remember most about was it snowed the night before, and there was, like, snow and ice everywhere.
Right.
And this is before the days where they, like, clean out the stadiums before ahead of time. So everybody's there. It's freezing cold. They're just having a blast. We're chucking snowballs everywhere. There, a guy actually picked up a, like, must have been, like, a 20-pound chunk of ice and, like, threw it, like, only, like, three rows over me. And it, like, broke his chair in half.
Nice.
And one of the best things I remember was they brought out, like, a car that they were going to give away during halftime, and people were starting to chuck snowballs at it. And they made the announcement, if we see one more person throwing a snowball, we're going to eject people. And that's when the entire stadium started chucking snowballs at this damn thing.
And, this was in Philly?
It was in you might be surprised, but it was in Philadelphia. But it was one of the greatest things, just seeing a guy trying to tear out of there in a car and not, like, wreck the field as he's leaving the field. And the Stars won the game, by the way, people. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, I'm going to stop for 1 second and let the dog out.
Right.
Sorry, you had to let the third member of the podcast out to pee. Perlu had to go.
I'm sorry, man. I couldn't hold it in.
But yes, if you listen to this podcast before, you know, every time I do one at home, this freaking hairy fluff ball always has to go out.
Stop talking about your wife like that.
Well, you know, plumbing's expensive. But, yeah, I was just saying to you, it's funny you said that because a couple years ago, me and my buddy, he's a big Redskin fan. We went to a Redskin Giant game. They both sucked at the time. It's the last game of the season. And it had snowed really, really bad. And every time people were building snowmen in the crowd, and every time someone scored a touchdown, there's snowballs everywhere. It was actually a really fun time. And the game meant nothing. So that was really cool. So I'll go. Mine was one of the best events. I'm a big Devil fan. And it was St. Patrick's Day. The Devils were wearing their green jerseys. And on that night, it was just like this awesome night. It was jam-packed. And one, Brodeur had broke the all-time wins record. And Patrick Elias had broke the all-time Devils goal record at the same time.
Wow.
And it was just like this awesome, I don't know, the crowd was just so, like, jacked, and, like, at the end of the game, the three Stars came out, Patrick Elias came out with a green leprechaun hat on, like, it was just, I don't know, as a Devils fan, it was just, like, an awesome moment, and I don't know, it's, like, really weird and bizarre to me that, like, Brodeur is, like, not there, and, like, that's it, he's done, you know, like, I know he's trying to get on another team now, but he's done, you know, he's finally done, but
I actually was live at a game where one of his worst performances.
Yeah.
I was down in Atlanta with my dad, and my uncle went down there. My uncle is from Jersey, and we always said we always wanted to go to a hockey game. It's like, oh, the Thrashers are playing the Devils, so that's cool. And we go down there, and my uncle keeps talking about, you know, Brodeur's the man. He'll just stop everything, whatever. It's the second period. Devils are up like 4-0. And all my uncle can say is this game's over. This game is over. Brodeur doesn't give up 4 in a month, let alone a game. And then simultaneously from there, I just saw the most, well, it's a penalty, so it's coming back for holding.
We're watching this game. Russell Wilson just continuously has like 20-yard running plays, and the Seahawks continually have
penalty
holding. And I bet the over, damn it, so you better hurry up.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as the game went along, you know, 4-1, 4-2. It's just luck. Brodeur ain't going to – 4-3, 4-4. Thrashers go up 5-4. Then the Devils score one to bring it to overtime. And then I remember the way the Thrashers won was – they had a breakaway, and some guy had a high stick, and I think I found out the next day one of the guys had his cornea scratched because of a high stick, but the ref didn't see anything, so he had a 2-on-1 break, and the Thrashers won 6-5, and I just kept on looking at my uncle and all, and he's just
shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I probably tell this in the podcast, but I actually got into hockey because of my grandmother. She used to go to Rovers games, which they used to apparently play like MSG or something, and then she kind of liked the Rangers. Her and her husband loved hockey. And my dad's not a big sports guy, and my mom, she can care less about anything to do with organized sports. And my grandma used to always take us to Devils games every year, my whole childhood. And so my fondest memories are sitting up as a kid in 1995, Devils win the cup, and before that we were just considered such a joke organization, and no one gave them respect, and they still get no respect. Meanwhile, they're around here, they're the most, other than the Yankees, they had three cups in, 9 years? Three cups in 9 years? I mean,
they had to totally change the rules of hockey because of them with that trap defense.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you have one of the best defenders of all time in Stevens, Niedermeyer. You have arguably the best goalie of all time. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. That came out of New Jersey, and it's
nobody care.
I don't know. And now it's the Rock is such a great building. It's just an awesome franchise. I don't know. It's they really need to get back on the right track here. But
Jersey doesn't appreciate their sports. I mean, that's why we lost the Nets.
Yep.
They went to back-to-back championships. They didn't win, but they went there.
No one cares.
They built a team. And it was just the same was still three quarters empty.
It's just so hard to compete with New York, man. And especially with so many New York fans going back, they just never took on the Jersey team. Devils now have a pretty good fan base. When I was a kid, it was 50% of the game was Ranger fan. When you went to a Devils Rangers game, maybe more than that, 70% with Ranger fans. Now every time I go, it's pretty close to more. Every time it's a Devils home game, it's probably 70-30 Devils now. It's good.
I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, I'm a Flyers fan, but
get the fuck out.
Yeah. But I mean, my point is, I'm glad that they get the fan base, because it is kind of sad. Because, like I said, I mean, we had two prime sports teams. Now we're down to one. I mean, you can say Jets or Giants, but of course, we got to call them New York.
Not even one. The Jersey Jets sounds fine.
Yeah, even the Metro Stars, they were at least New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. Yep. Oh, Red Bull buys them. We're New York.
New York,
Red even Bull. Though we're in Harrison.
Yep. Yeah. So that was probably definitely one of my best. I'm sure as I go through the top three, I'll miss one or two, but these are the ones that are coming to mind. Second one.
We'll go back to football again, and I'm going to talk about I went to the vet with all my Redskins gear on, and me being a Philadelphia guy, I kind of know the rules about stuff. I mean, what I tell people, if you're going to a Philadelphia game in other team's gear, you can go up to the level of what the Philly fans dish to you. Do not go over that level. That's when you start getting fist fights. But I just decided to have fun in all my Redskins gear. I was there an hour and a half before the game, and I walked every single row of the parking lot just to hear the chants, just to hear the a-hole chants, just to hear, get the bleep out of here. Are we allowed to curse on this?
Of course.
All right, get the fuck out of here. Asshole. I was actually at the game, and I got up, and I was walking up the stairs, and they showed me on the big screen, and the asshole chants going. And I'm from Philly, so I just looked around. It was kind of low, so I was waving my hands up. Yeah. I'm like, no, you're going to call me an asshole. This entire stadium is going to call me an asshole. Yeah. And I remember the ending of the game was basically the Skins got the ball back. They fumbled the ball. It should have been called a fumble, and all the Eagles fans were getting pissed off, calling for instant replay. It was some stupid rule when the ref points to the ground saying that he was down, you can't review the play. And I kept telling Eagles fans that are like, shut the fuck up, whatever, he fumbled. I'm like, I understand he fumbled, but I must inform you that the proper rules state. And then, yeah, and basically he did fumble, but they couldn't reverse it, and we kicked a field goal, and we won, and Eagles fans were pissed at me.
Mm-hmm. I will say, before I go to my second one here, honorable mentions, two more Devils things. One was this recent outdoor game, Rangers-Devils at Yankee Stadium.
You went to that?
As soon as I knew it was going, I went. Well, actually, I just waited on Craigslist and bought tickets, but
yeah,
seats. The result was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the first period, Devils played great. Then they get blown out by the Rangers. But the event was just so cool. Everyone was, like, just really excited. Just seeing the outdoor hockey was, like, so much fun. And, I don't know, like, following the team forever, I was like, wow. I couldn't even believe the Devils got mentioned to play outdoors. Like, because they don't get that. Like I said, they get nothing from the NHL. I think Gary Bettman hates the Devils. But,
it's not a major market, so I somewhat understand it. You know, it's why it's one of the biggest failures of the NHL. They continuously have teams moving.
Mm-hmm. But that game was freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the one where they had it at Citizen Bank Park and all, but the tickets were just so insane. Yeah. I mean, hockey rates about fourth or fifth on my list of sports. I love watching it live, but it's like I'm not going to spend $300-some for a ticket of my fifth favorite sport.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that was really, really freaking great. There was another Devils one, but that's right. I would say my second one was I was probably 15, something like that, and I went over to Giants Stadium and saw the Scotland national team versus Colombia national team in soccer.
And you survived to tell about it.
Yes. And now I'm a big soccer guy, so I've seen a lot of events since then. But this was my first, like, international game. And just the dynamic of the crowd was so – it's probably like 70-30 Colombia fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Colombia fans are awesome. There was – one, there was hot chicks everywhere.
Of course.
Two, there were men dressed as Colombian chicks everywhere. Three.
Of course. The Hoggets. wrong football, boys.
Three, at the time, there was a guy named Carlos Valderrama, big time,
mm-hmm.
big time legend in Colombia, and everyone had like these big Valderrama wigs. And before that, the Red Bulls had played at the time of San Jose, and he was on that team. You know, he's old, but he came to the MLS.
I remember him.
And just the excitement. People were blowing up condoms and throwing them around and beach balls and just this party. Like, it was nuts. And then, like, the Scotland fans, they held their own. So we're in the walkway in Giant Stadium, the corridor, and, you know, all these people are talking shit and chanting. All of a sudden, you hear bagpipes and, like, 12, 15 guys are walking down in their full garb and everything, playing bagpipes. And
awesome.
They're like, F you, F you. And they're just like walking through, like pushing people out of the way. And it was like, this is amazing. I think it was like a 1-1 draw or somewhere. I don't know. But it was just, it was the crowd that made it so much fun. And like as a kid, you know, being into soccer, it was like I had only seen like Metro Stars games. And that was like 10 times better. It was sold out. It was like jam-packed. The dynamic in the crowd was so funny. That was actually number two, like best memories of a live sporting event.
Hmm.
All right, Berlo. The number one that you can think of.
The number one I can think of is a sport that I'm kind of alone
in.
Did
you bet the over?
What's that?
Sorry, he told me to bet the over, and I'm far away at the moment.
No, I wouldn't be stupid enough to do that. Why would I do that? It's a sport that
I was going to get to this too with you, so I'm glad.
Okay, it's a sport that I'm kind of alone in this state of mind and enjoying, but I do love it so much. It is called NASCAR.
Vroom.
And what happened was my company, we had some like contracts with Office Depot, and the facilities manager at the time tried to make a deal. Hey, can you get us some tickets? So we figured we're just going to get some regular tickets for the Pocono race. What ended up happening is we go down there. They give us tickets to go into the garage. We are walking around where all the pit crew members are, getting the cars ready for stuff. They take us to the back, to the RVs. I get a face-to-face with Tony Stewart.
Nice. He survived.
Yeah. I live to tell the tale. I have an autographed picture at work with Tony Stewart. Very down-to-earth guy, very nice guy. This is about 6 years prior to
something else. Just has road rage issues.
And then we figure, all right, we took the tour pit road. We figure, all right, we're going to go back to our seats. They're like, where are you going? Well, we're going to go back to seats. We got some seats on the back of the pit crew. I'm sitting behind crew chief the entire race. I see all the mechanicals. I see all the, telemetry. They got all the equipment. I'm watching a 15-second pit stop literally like 20 feet in front of me.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, that was just an awesome event. And the only sad thing was if he won the race, we would have been in victory lane with him. He ended up second that day.
Well, as long as you weren't on the track when he was
there. Yeah. I went out to give him a high five, and now you're talking to the ghost of Michael Burlew right now.
The Burl's ghost.
Burl's the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know.
Yeah, NASCAR I can't get into. I respect everything that goes into it. I understand how technical it is.
Mm-hmm.
The pit crew is actually – I don't know if it was a 30 for 30. Maybe it was just a piece on them, but they were showing like pit crew school.
Yeah.
It was so cool. It was like all these ex like football players and like real good athletes and stuff like that, and how like they've totally changed the game of like pit crew. Like they get all these athletes, recruit them. Like, hey, you know, you might not be drafted, but you could be making serious money changing tires, you know. But to me, like on TV, I can't watch it. I mean, to me, it's like I'd rather sit on the parkway with a six pack and just watch. Try to look out for cool cars.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. I don't try to tell people, no, I'm going to make you watch a race and you're going to love it, because there's only certain tracks. Like, as a NASCAR fan, there's certain tracks I sit back and go, I'm not going to watch this race. Why? Because I know it's going to be boring.
Oh, yeah.
But I like stuff. I like the short tracks. I like the road courses. I like the restrictor plates. Why? Because these were all the wrecks happen, and this is where all the guys get pissed off and they start... And they start meeting each other after the race. That's the fun.
They punch each other in the helmet, like, like the NFL.
I remember I took a guy from India. He flew over to – we were showing him stuff and all. And he's like, oh, sir, I want to see a NASCAR race. I'm like, all right. Watkins Glen happened to be that weekend. Took the four-hour drive up there. We went to see what was called the Bush race. It's a nationwide series. It's a lower ranked.
Soon to
ranks.
Be the Burrells race.
Oh, of course. In due time. Right. But a bunch of wrecks because they're the lower level guys, and all our guys just trying to practice, and all wrecks like crazy. We go to the Cup race the next day. You know, we're watching it along. I'm like, hey, Romulo, how are you enjoying this? He's like, sir, this is nice, but we don't have the wrecks like yesterday. And I said, wait till about 20 laps ago. Yeah. She said, what? And I'm like, wait till 20 laps ago when they get desperate. And the greatest thing was a guy, they came back off a caution, guy wrecks, spins, hits a car. They have these barrels full of sand to prevent them from like hitting into the concrete. Guy just boosh right in front of us through the sand is flying through the air. It was like, I'm not Southern, but I went yee-haw at that moment.
But that's the other thing. Like, you're rooting for people to get into near-fatal accidents. Like,
no, not, I mean, outside of one accident in NASCAR. I mean, sadly, it took what happened to Dale Earnhardt for them to sit back and realize, all right, we can't screw around with safety. And that's right. How things change. You know? And these cars, I mean, believe me when I tell you, they might be crashing at 200 miles an hour, but they're a hell of a lot safer than you crashing in your car 40 miles an hour.
Yeah. Look how redneck it is right now. I am wearing it is like white trash podcast today. Let me go over a couple things right here.
Okay.
Burl's got his 1991 Redskins shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I am wearing, which I went out in public with to pick up Thai food. I am wearing pajama pants with dogs with antlers on them. And to cap it all off, we're talking about NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
And Berlo's microphone is sitting, because I didn't have a mic stand. Berlo's microphone is sitting in two rolls of toilet paper inside the middle. But it, mm-hmm. damn, is it a good mic stand?
It's working.
It is.
We
right
got. We get her done.
In the mouth. Yeah. I mean, God. Yeehaw.
I will reiterate, I'm not from the South, people.
Yeah, yeah, right. You see what happens? You come on the podcast, everything gets a little...
It got Southern, but it wasn't from my heritage.
A little bit more rustic.
A little fun fact about my heritage, I'm 132nd Native American.
Oh, 132nd, huh?
Yes. My great-grandmother was Cherokee, so I'm allowed to say Redskins.
Right, right, right.
But you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
You offend me.
You come from the put the hemp away tribe.
I can legally turn my apartment into a casino. That's all that matters.
Well, now we're talking.
Yeah.
But then again, you did tell me to bet the over. I had the under, so maybe I don't want to come to your...
Well, who do you think you were betting at that time?
Yeah. You're like, swing the odds the other way. But I would say my favorite event, just thinking about, again, it was more of a crowd thing, was 2006 Mets versus Dodgers in the playoffs. And I had great seats. And Shea Stadium. Was it the last year? I think it was the last 2006.
I can look it up.
Close to the last year of Shea Stadium. And they, of course, they hadn't made the playoffs in forever. And during that time, the Mets were up by a run. John Maine was pitching. And Dodgers get it hit, and two guys come in, and they throw one guy out at the plate. The other guy gets a bad signal and starts running. They tag both players out at home plate. And let me tell you, Shea Stadium was freaking rocking. Like, the place, like, literally felt like it sways. Like, the whole place felt like it sways. And, like, it's funny because I have a documentary about Shea Stadium on DVD, and, like, even the players are talking about when there was jam packed in there, like in the 80s and 90s, like you saw the stadium moving back and forth, which is probably frightening,
yeah,
but awesome at the same time. Like, it was so much energy in there. And, like, the Mets haven't made the freaking playoffs since.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. For SARS, 2008, last season of Shea.
2008.
Yeah.
So, yeah, close to the end. So, yeah. 06, it was when they went. That was the year I really thought they were in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The Pedro, the Beltran, Delgado, Reyes, the Duca, Cliff Floyd, who, by the way, is one of my favorite Mets. Love that guy.
Really?
I don't know. I just always loved him. I don't know. He wasn't great.
Yeah.
But this is one of those guys. Favorite Met of all time? Lenny Dykstra. Where is he now? In prison.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would say he's in my top five of Phillies.
Yeah, you got the
that
big.
Was the,
you
that
got
was
the big
best deal known to mankind. Lenny Dykstra and what was it? Roger McDowell for Juan Samuel, who was traded not even halfway into the season when he was with the Mets.
Yeah.
He was batting like 176 that year. That was an awesome trade.
And then Lenny just hit the steroids. Like, remember that he had like 30 home runs one year? He was
like, oh, yeah.
He was like a slap.
The 93 season.
He
yeah.
was like a slap singles player before that. Mm-hmm. Hard nose, like runner.
The greatest thing about Lenny Dykstra, I always loved, was that big ass freaking thing, wad
Chaw.
Of chew.
Yeah,
I always remember hearing story. John Kroc talks about. John Kroc always used to talk about how opposing teams, center fielders, hated to go out in center field because Lenny would just leave wads of chew in the outfield to mark where he would be for each player.
Maybe he was smarter.
Yeah. I got it. Ew.
Dude, he screwed up, man. Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, yeah.
He really screwed up.
He almost got into a brawl with Mitch Williams a couple years ago. Because he still blames Mitch Williams for the 93 season.
Yeah. Yeah. Other honorable mentions, a bunch of U.S. soccer games I went to. Definitely awesome. But, yeah. Yeah, so that's our segment on grading sporting events. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a little news here, Berlu.
All right.
Let's go to a little news.
First one is mom burglarizes cars at school, claims she was looking for ISIS.
Oh. Well, they are moving.
Naturally.
Did she tell Obama, no, don't send the troops? I got this.
I got this. Apparently, there's growing concern that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria could attack the United States from within. Cops just don't believe that terrorists will start by hiding in cars on a Mississippi school property. That allegedly didn't stop Lisa Carol Roche from using ISIS as an alibi. The Hurley woman is accused of burglarizing cars in the parking lot of her children's school, then telling officers she was looking for ISIS terrorists, according to Gulf Live. Roche, 21, was allegedly caught stealing sunglasses and other items from cars at East Central High School. Fox 10 reports she remained in Jackson County Adult Detention Center. She's been charged previously with careless driving, felony fraud, and felony embezzlement. She faces up to 5 years in prison and $10,000 fine if convicted of burglary. And just to show you what she looks like, Berlo.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we're definitely going redneck tonight looking at that picture.
Yeah, she's got tats all over her face, her neck, all the way around her head. But yeah, looking for ISIS in the cars.
You know,
something
I feel
criminal, I think hero.
I feel safe in the terrace now. My CD player's missing, but still.
Maybe that glare on the road after she takes my sunglasses a little rough. But
exactly,
as long as I'm not being beheaded.
Well, she sees how they cover the face, so she figures, you know, anybody wearing glasses is ISIS.
Right. Plus, it's always in the desert in the hot sun.
Yeah.
You know, God. But anyway, yeah. So, looking for ISIS in cars.
There's your touchdown, by the way. Not the one that I want. Oh, well, wait, flag. Well, never
here
mind.
We go. Next one. Nude Olympics lets it all hang out in San Francisco Beach. Nude Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Pole vault. on your market, set, go. Get naked. Nudists and curiosity seekers are invited to storm Baker Beach near the Golden State Bridge on Saturday to participate in foot races, beach volleyball, and javelin throwing.
That sounds a little tad dangerous.
Yeah. Javelin throwing in the nude sounds absolutely frightening. The question, some say, isn't really who would want to undress and compete in the Greco-Roman wrestling in the national park. It's who wouldn't. Oh, so clever. On a nice day, who would want to wear clothes on the beach, George Davis, one of the organizers, said. It's better to be natural and free. There'll be a tug of war if someone shows up with a suitable rope, organizers said in a press release. San Francisco banned public nudity in some areas in February 2013. Davis has filed a lawsuit to overturn the ban, and his lawyer believes the games are legal.
What do you think that judge is thinking when that court case comes up to him?
That's what I mean. It's like,
well, we have that murderer awaiting trial, but this seems pretty important.
Yeah. Ooh, just to let you know, the National Weather Service predicts that it will be sunny with a high temperature of 77. A light and variable wind will blow 8 to 11 miles.
You always have to factor in the wind when you're in the nude Olympics.
Right.
That's the key
thing.
Things
tend to swing or curve or, you know.
See.
Yeah.
I guess if I had to be in the nude Olympics and I'm in San Francisco, I would be in the dash. Because if you're in San Francisco and you're naked, you better be running very quickly if you don't want to be in certain situations.
Right, you want to be in the front.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's funny. Like, when I was supposed to this summer. I didn't get to do it, but I'm definitely going to do it next summer. I want to do a podcast about going to the nude beach.
Okay.
And I want to participate in it.
Really?
And just feel how awkward and terrible it is and try to get some interviews. And
where is it? Like Tom's
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook, yeah.
Right there. I didn't get to do it this summer, but that's definitely going to be a future episode, and it's going to be awful.
Well, it's always going to be awful. Now it's just going to be awkward and awful.
Pictures to follow.
Doug, Max, what are you doing on this episode?
Hey, Doug!
I
like to smoke in the new. All right, last story. I don't really have a dirtbag of the week.
these people, you know, maybe they love each other. But a couple enjoys regular threesomes with sex dolls, and it only costs $32,000.
That's it? Wow.
Shauna Bigelow is only a little jealous of the numerous sex dolls her boyfriend keeps in the basement. Most of the time, though, she and Dave Hockey enjoy an ongoing sexual relationship with the dolls, which they spent more than $32,000 on. Their freaky extracurriculars involve little to no attachment unless Bigelow decides to use a different attachable penis for her male doll named Terry.
Mm.
It's kind of like a threesome without anyone getting hurt, she told the station. You got to realize that she is only a doll that's really not real. She's only a doll that's really not real.
Whoa.
In case you weren't, you know. Because who has the perfect body? The two met on a dating website more than a year ago. Bigelow said she wasn't put off when Hockey showed her to his basement. This is how every murder case starts. Where he keeps the dolls before bedtime. On the contrary, she started wearing the dolls' wigs and looking down their shirts and wanted to see everything. Things quickly moved to the bedroom, where the couple shares nightly visits with one of the female dolls, Bianca.
Ooh.
This particular plastic lover is famous. She starred alongside Ryan Gosling in 2007.
Oh, having sex with a celebrity. That's high on my list.
The pair says they wanted to share their plastic philandery to try and face the shame that surrounds the doll sex movement. There's a face on the community that is painted as the lonely single guy, Hockey said. Because I did a documentary, I also did a lot of research on this, and 30% of people in our forum are couples and are married.
So my first thought is, how did this become a news story?
I don't really know.
Slow of a news day was that?
Not only that, also...
Listen, Chief, I know ISIS is pretty big, but I got this dude with a sex doll. I really need to... spend some time with.
The other thing I'm thinking is that a doll was in a movie with Ryan Gosling. What the fuck am I doing wrong?
Who kept that around? I mean.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't get the whole doll thing. It's a little weird to me. But, you know.
I mean, there's enough people on Craigslist that you can call up. I mean, it'll cost you a lot less than $32,000 a year.
$32,000.
I live in an apartment, and they're spending $32,000 on freaking sex dolls.
They might be in the apartment.
They're spending $32,000 on sex dolls, and I'm just sitting there in my apartment waiting for them. I don't just...
Waiting for the price to go down, so you can order one.
Come on, ladies. Come
on. Maybe the dolls are the way to go. You don't have to deal with the emotions, the arguing, any money. Well... once the investment's over.
Yeah.
But what's the maintenance on a doll? You got to clean it? And
definitely cleaning. I mean, I got to think there's puncture wounds.
Comb the hair, maybe?
Yeah, wigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they talked about different attachments.
No, I feel like that can't be fun because, like, those dolls got to be heavy, first off. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, you're doing all the work.
Yeah. You're never going to be rogue.
Yeah, you can't go home and, like, hey, honey, can you give me a quickie? Right.
You're doing everything.
Anyway, you don't have a pump, and you have to blow it up yourself and all, and then you're too tired to use it anyway.
They're like those, like, they look like the dolls from, like they're plastic of some sort. Like, these are serious dolls.
Mm.
These ain't the
they don't mess
dolls.
Around. Yeah. They ain't your grandfather's sex dolls,
no pin,
I'll tell you that
no
much.
Pin, no pin is going to pop my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think we've reached the end of the podcast. We've covered
zombie porn, Redskins,
slavery.
That was important. Sex dolls,
events, sex with dolls.
Yeah.
Me
being chanted as an asshole in Philadelphia.
Rednecks.
Rednecks. Yeah.
So anyway,
a murderer, Tony Stewart.
So anyway, Burley, you have any dates coming up? Anything?
Nothing on the calendar coming up. Oh, actually, yes, I'm doing Seymour Swan and Friends on October the 19th. It's the day after my birthday, so people come celebrate my belated birthday with me.
Yes, yes. And
unfortunately, Scott won't because he'll be at Tierney's that night.
Dress as a hoggette, and you'll get a free drink on Burlow.
Ah,
If that actually happens,
you better buy that, the president a freaking drink.
We got a hell of a podcast about it. Scott, you're not going to believe this.
You're not going to fucking believe this. Doug Max dressed as a hog ass.
You remember my birthday.
And I am, if this goes up by Monday, I'm a Monday at Raritan Valley Community College. And October 19th at Tierney's with our good friend Johnny Watson. So keep the wind at your back. Let's hope Seattle can throw a few touchdowns here in the next 11 minutes. And
hail to the Redskins.
Love
no.
ya. Please keep subscribing. Do it. Please. Please, 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 please help.
We have to have a reason to be together on Monday nights.
Yes, other than the sex.
Yeah, the sex dolls are amazing. Yours are well worth and half the price of those other ones. Yeah, well, I give you...
I make them myself.
I give you a thumbs up for that. Well, I did earlier, but still.
Man, you gave her a thumbs up. Anyway, good night, peoples.
Later, peeps.